If you're able to remain standing, please do, and let's turn to John 10 so that we might hear of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. John 10, verses 1 through 10 will be our focus today, but I'm going to read 1 through 21. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of his words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This ends the reading of God's word for the moment. You may be seated. Well, this passage in John chapter 10 is famously known as the Good Shepherd passage. In the Bible that I'm reading from here, the editors have added a little heading that says, "I am the Good Shepherd." And indeed, Jesus says that. But before he says that, before he talks about himself as the Good Shepherd, he also talks about himself as the door. Perhaps you noticed that in verse 9, he says, "I am the door." Parallel to the way he says, "I am the good shepherd," later on. Jesus gives a little parable here at the beginning of John 10, and he gives an explanation of it, and then he comes back around and he talks about it again. And there are various ways and things that we ought to, ways of understanding this and things we ought to take from it. Before we do that, I want you just to notice that this comes in connection with what has happened before in John 9. Remember how this passage that I ends? The people say, "How could he be oppressed by a demon? He's opened the eyes of the blind." They're, of course, talking about the blind man that he's just healed. And we'll come back to him at the end of the sermon. Here at the beginning, Jesus gives this parable. A parable that makes a distinction between true shepherds and false shepherds as they relate to Jesus as the door. Earlier I mentioned that that passage in Matthew chapter 25 is in some ways parallel to this because we have people that are either ministering or not ministering to the sheep. Jesus says those who cared for his sheep, those who loved them, cared for him. They followed his will in this way. Those who did not minister, but to put it in terms of John 10, killed and destroyed and stole, those do not belong to him. Those are thieves. Those are robbers. Those are people that are there to harm the sheep. I had an opportunity this summer to meet with a few of the young men from in our church here, and we went through a little book called Called to the Ministry by a man named Edmund Clowney. Ed Clowney was a Presbyterian minister in the OPC and the PCA. He served in a number of churches and also was a seminary professor at both Westminster's in Philadelphia and in Escondido. And this little book that he wrote, Called to the Ministry, is often given to young men who are considering going to the ministry. And it's asked this question. It's a way to help you ask this question: am I called? Should I join the ministry? Should I become a minister of the gospel? And the question, am I called, is answered this way: yes. Everyone is called to the ministry, Ed Clowney says. Perhaps not in a full-time official capacity as an ordained minister, but we all, he says, and rightly says, have a responsibility. Right? This is Jesus' point in Matthew chapter 25. There are people who said, what? When did you say I was supposed to take care of people? When was I supposed to take care of you? Where was my ministry? And he says, you failed to do it in these regards. You are a goat. Depart from me. So we have passages like these. We have passages like John 10. We have passages like Colossians 3:15, which says that to the church in Colossae, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. Each of us are shepherds in a way. In some way or another, God has given, put people around us in our lives, often family and friends and perhaps a few people at church as well, that he gives us some responsibility for, to teach, to admonish, to sing with, to dwell together richly with the word of Christ. So in a way, we get to approach this passage in a couple different ways. One way is to think about ourselves as the sheep, right, who are trusting certain shepherds. Who's a wolf and who's not? Who's a hired hand and who's not? Who's a thief? Who's a robber and who's a true shepherd? That should matter to you as one who belongs to the Lord. But we can also approach this passage all as shepherds. What is my job? What is my responsibility? What does it look like for me to care for the lambs of Christ? So let's consider that. First, with Jesus' distinction that he makes in verses 1 and 2. He says, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the sheep of the shepherd. So kids, if you are drawing notes on your bulletins, or adults, if you are drawing notes on your bulletins, you can draw a sort of a square, but leave off one side, right? And that's your sheepfold. This is a enclosed area where the sheep are put into, and on the open side, that's where the gate is, right? Does that make sense? So you have one open side of your square, and the sheep go in and out through that gate. If you're out in the desert, for example, with your sheep, and you're wandering around, you're looking for food, you're taking them to various places, and you need to put them into a protected place, you're going to try and find a place like this. Try to find an enclosed place where you can block off one side and guard it and protect it. And that's your door, that's your gate. And what Jesus is saying is that the true shepherd goes in and out through the gate. And thieves and robbers, they don't use the gate. They don't use the door. They go in over the side or the back. Now, let's continue going on, and then we'll come back through this in the way that Jesus explains the parable. So let's just first listen to the parable and see what he has to say. So first, in verses 1 and 2, he makes this distinction. The second thing he says in verses 3 through 5 is the shepherd's relationship to two groups. One, to the gatekeeper, and two to the sheep. So his relationship to the gatekeeper is a good one. To him, the true shepherd, that is, the gatekeeper opens the gate. He opens the gate. And to the sheep, we read that he hears his voice, or the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I read a story about this, in which there were a person was describing seeing this in action, where there were multiple shepherds with multiple flocks that brought their sheep together into sort of a circle, and then surrounded that circle of multiple flocks with various tents for the night. So they kind of created a sheepfold in a way by the shepherds with their various tents. Well, in the morning, you have this large body of sheep, and the shepherds then go out of the circle at different points and do their particular calls to the sheep. And then the sheep then filter out of that circle at the appropriate place and go to their particular shepherd. I heard another story about a lady who had her sheep taken away from her, and they were enclosed and, again, mixed in with a bunch of other people. She was then released from her captors, and she said, "I want to take my sheep with me." And they go, "Well, good luck, right? They're in there with all these other people's sheep. How will you know which one?" She says, "They'll hear my voice. They'll recognize it." And sure enough, I think there was a whistle or something that she used, and all of a sudden, certain little heads started bobbing, and out came her sheep. So the shepherd has this particular relationship with his particular sheep. He also has a relationship with this gatekeeper who opens and closes. So why is any of this important, right? Here's the picture Jesus gives. The people have trouble understanding it in verse 6, so he explains in verses 7 through 10. And here's what he says. He says, "I am the door of the sheep. Truly, truly, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them," right? So the thieves and robbers, the sheep don't listen to them. "Thieves come to steal and kill and destroy." So what is Jesus saying? He is saying that he has a relationship then with the shepherd and the sheep in this way. Later he will talk about himself as the shepherd, but hold off on that till next week. For now he's saying, think of me as the door. The true shepherds, the good shepherds, use the door. They take the sheep in and out through me. The gatekeeper, which many commentators, and I would agree with this, would say is the Holy Spirit, the gatekeeper is the one who opens that door. He is the one who lets us come in and out through Christ, hearing the voice of Christ in the shepherd of Christ, who uses only Christ to call the sheep. The connection between the shepherd's call, the under-shepherd's call, and the greater shepherd's call is, of course, because he speaks the word of Jesus. Jesus, as we sang in one of our hymns, himself speaks his own word. Jesus is not a shepherd for someone else. He calls the sheep by his own name. And those who serve under Jesus don't call by their names, but they call by his. And so, Edmund Clowney, in this book, Called to the Ministry, one of the things he emphasizes is how important it is that the Christian ministry be unsurprisingly tied to Christ and to Christ alone. And for anyone who might have heard or known a little bit about this particular theologian, Ed Clowney was known particularly for being extremely Christ-centered. He understood this, the core of his being, that to be a true minister meant to preach Christ, to teach Christ, because that is where the sheep have life and have it abundantly. Those who steal, those who rob, those who destroy, they kill the sheep. They take from the sheep. They harm the sheep. But those who use the door, what does Jesus say? Jesus says in verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." There is freedom in this image of going in and out, led by the voice of the shepherd who speaks the words of Christ, who uses the words of the door, who is in step with the Spirit, who is opening that door because it is all of Christ. If you want an example of this, you can go to chapter 9. Consider the Pharisees. Right? Here is this blind man who has just been healed by Jesus. What do? Do they take care of this man? Do they comfort this man? Do they love this man? Do they say, "Let's go back to Jesus. Maybe there's more for you." Do they take him to him? No, they mock him. This man, this blind who'd been blind from birth and is now healed, they mock him, they shame him, they publicly humiliate him, and then they cast him out of the church or out of the synagogue. If that is an example, that to me sounds like an example of a thief and a robber and someone who is destroying the lambs of God. Interestingly, the blind man actually ends up becoming a shepherd himself. You remember that the way he is healed, Jesus puts mud on his eyes and tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he goes to this, as one commentator said, this kind of missionary pool. His eyes are cleansed, his eyes are healed, he comes out, and then in all of the persecution that he's facing, he just keeps telling the truth about what? Jesus. About who? Jesus. He keeps testifying to the door. That one healed me, that one healed me. Jesus tells him, "I am the Son of Man," and he worships him. And in this, people believe. The blind man, actually, though he was persecuted by these false shepherds, actually becomes, in a way, a true shepherd himself, one who is testifying to the works of Christ. If you want another example of this, you could look at the woman of the well, at the well that Jesus met there. He speaks to her, he testifies to her, he tells her things about herself that she thought no one knew. And what does she do? She goes and she starts pointing to the door. She goes to her townspeople and she says, "This is what happened. This is what he did." And they started coming out to Jesus and they started believing him. These are examples of teaching and admonishing and shepherding in a true way by pointing to Christ. The Pharisees were afraid of Jesus. The Pharisees did not want to use the door. They were going to go any other way. They were going to, but in doing so, they were not helping the people at all. Instead, they were harming the people. Now, there are many examples of this today. There are all kinds of other ways into the sheepfold that ultimately destroy and hurt the sheep. There are ways that people will try to shepherd you, to teach you, to lead you, that are not through the door, that are not in Christ. They'll point to mystical strategies. They'll point to other gods. They'll point to particular teachers and books and say, "Here's the only way," or "This is the only way," or "Pay attention to me," or all kinds of things. Sometimes, like the Pharisees, people will even use the Bible itself and true and good doctrines in a way that takes us away from Christ. Again, using the Pharisees as an example, remember what their emphasis was. "We are going to hold to the Sabbath and we are going to pound this truth." Now, of course, they were constructing all kinds of man-made things around it. They were not living as it, or they were not and following it as it was meant to be followed. But how is the Sabbath meant to be followed? In Christ. It is in Christ that we have our rest. It's in Christ that we have our peace. How do we know this? The healing of the blind man. on the Sabbath day. He healed this man. He brought him restoration and life and peace in his body. That's what the Sabbath is about. That's why we rest. That's why we celebrate. That's why we take one day out of seven to rest in the Lord Jesus. But the Pharisees were using this and using a biblical practice in a way to go around Christ, to have another way. And this happens in the church all the time. Sometimes there are churches even where it seems like there is good doctrine and biblical emphasis, where Christ is still not present. And what a sad thing that is, when Christ is the Christ of all the scriptures, and the doctrines and the teachings all point to him and find their grounding and their source in him. If the voice of your shepherd is not one that is pointing to the door, if your shepherd is leading you in and out through a different door other than Christ, he's not a true shepherd. And if you are doing that for other people, if you are encouraging them in the things of God through some other path other than this door, then you are not a true shepherd. This is, of course, the danger that we have. The good news is that Jesus is the supreme shepherd above all shepherds and knows how to take care of his sheep even when they're in bad situations and even when they're being naughty themselves. Jesus is the good shepherd and he knows how to guide us. He knows how to protect us. He knows how to keep us. And he doesn't do that by going somewhere else. He does that by grounding us in him. Why? Because he is the door. He is our life, and in him we have freedom and life abundantly. So if you want to belong to God, if you want to be one who is cared for and protected and loved and known, then enter in and out through Christ. Belong to him, know to him, surround yourself by people who speak his words, who teach and admonish in all wisdom, and let the word of Christ dwell richly in them and in you. And be that kind of person yourself. Minister to others as Christ has called you to do. As a member of his body, bring and call others into that body and point them to Jesus. We're called Christians for a reason. Because we are in Christ. May God keep us in him and never let us fall away. Let us pray.